Yeah, without a doubt, I think everybody in this building values Terry very much. And we knew that coming in, and we knew that even more after spending a year with him. In terms of where we're at, we've had, you know, conversations recently, and we'll look to have some more conversations, and we're going to do everything we can in order to get a deal done.
That's the Commanders GM. As holdouts around the league continue, some high-profile ones, which they don't happen as often, I feel, as they used to.
No.
But
it's weird, actually. We have a couple this year.
Yeah, McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson. I have not heard the latest on where Trey Hendrickson is driving or what city he's passing through.
was he on his way somewhere else when he was in Jacksonville?
Right. Great question. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe live from Buffalo Bills training camp here at St. John Fisher in coverage of camp brought to you by Fugle Car and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Ella Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We got red helmets yesterday. We got news
yes,
on the
did.
Bills. Red helmets in the final game of the season against the Jets. I appreciated anybody that's a real true complainer slash hater, but in a funny way. I did think it was funny to see people saying, oh no, Josh will only get one snap in that helmet because they'll play the Jets in week 18 and they'll have the one seed locked up. That's a good problem to have, but I think the red helmet does a lot for nostalgia, does a lot for the fans of that era. One thing about the red helmet that I guess I had forgotten, I never really pictured in my head. I was listening when Sal talked to Eric Wood, like, oh, Eric Wood wore the red helmet. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sure.
He did. And the World League uniforms the Bills were wearing in the Bledsoe era, and Marshawn Lynch and Willis McGahee, and so many of these guys wore red helmets. And I feel like the red helmet, how much of the push for the red helmet is a push for the 90s red helmet and not just the helmet itself? Because
definitely,
it definitely coincided with a very forgettable era that we like to remember, of Bills football.
Yeah, no, it's the meat of the drought, right? Well, I guess, I mean, there's a seven-year period after, a six-year period after that that's a good chunk too. But they're bad. They're bad a ton when they're wearing that helmet with the Navy uniforms. And remember, that would have been the red helmet with the Navy stripe down the middle. And that helmet yesterday, that if you saw the pictures of Josh wearing it or Deion Dawkins wearing it, and you get that bright, royalish blue down the middle, it definitely pops more. It does feel different whether it's on the 90s guys or whether it's on the drought guys. Like, it's definitely the nostalgia. The Bills actually, in their video that they put out to, like, pump up or introduce the helmet, it's all 90s. It's Bruce. It's Cornelius Bennett in that video. It's Kelly. They do, like, a very quick, like, photo collage really quick at the end that they fly through. And if you watch that, I do think right at the end, one of the pictures is Fred Jackson wearing the red helmet in the World League uniforms, the Navy drought uniforms. But that's like a millisecond of a 30-second video that showed an image of anything in that drought era. Like, it's the 90s helmet.
Yeah.
More than it is, you know, the red helmet, just in general. It's the helmet they wore in their best era of football before Josh Allen got here. And they're wearing it with the current home uniforms, which
I think looks really good.
I will admit, like, it for me bothers me a little bit. You gotta be pretty, you gotta care a lot about that kind of stuff, right? Like,
I do.
You gotta know the difference in the striping and the piping of the 90s jersey versus this jersey. I saw a good take from the NFL fashion Twitter account, which is, like, I get, from that account especially, because I'm sure he cares about this kind of stuff, like, I get anybody that would have a complaint about this not being, you know, the exact match of what the Bills wore when Kelly's the quarterback. But what he said is, I actually like this uniform better. I think even though it's a mismatch for, like, the timeline, this looks better with it. Like, this uniform, he, like, broke down why he thought it was better. And for that, like, I understand that. Like, this uniform with that helmet, it does look good. If you didn't know that that wasn't the 90s uniform, you might have never noticed
right.
anything.
It certainly looks close enough, and it's important for it to look like it all fits together, which it does.
Yeah.
I saw Brian Mazurowski tweeting out a picture. The Sabres, for a while, wore royal blue jerseys and navy blue helmets.
And navy blue pants.
And that was a, was a bit of a problem.
And navy blue pants.
So, yeah, matching well.
That's probably worse.
Probably.
No, that's definitely worse, right?
We also had the Bills wearing their throwback uniforms twice. Once against the Bucs, once against the Falcons. One of those is home, one of those is road. So we got throwbacks. We've got red helmet against the Jets in the finale. And now we continue to just wait for the rivalry series.
Right.
Which will be this. I mean, the rumors about this one are going to go off the charts. I've got a couple different people saying, like, oh, I've heard it's this, I've heard it's that. It's tough to wait on that one, but we ultimately will. We'll wait for it.
And we don't know when it's going to be dropped.
That's right. Sometime before the Dolphins game,
yeah.
I think, which is week two.
Yeah.
So, week three. Sorry. The Jets is week two. The Dolphins week three.
Right. So it'll be early. I love the uniform matchup they're going to have against Atlanta.
Atlanta's wearing their black uniforms and red helmets.
Yep, the Bills are wearing the Dirty Birds.
The white throwbacks.
White throwbacks with the standing buffalo. Like that. That's my favorite. That's my favorite jersey matchup of the season.
Yeah.
What are the odds that Week 18 game, Allen's not going to play in it, in the red helmet?
I'd say the odds are high. He'll get a snap to extend his streak, and that's that.
That would imply, though, the one not just that the division is over, but that the one seed is over, right?
Yes, yes. That whether,
because last year,
whether they get it or they don't get it, the odds that the one seed goes to the final game of the season, I mean, you have 18 weeks
yeah.
for one team to pull ahead and have a tiebreaker locked up. That's really all that it is.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual to have happen.
I mean, like, last year it was clinched.
Last year it was
Kansas
clinched.
Kansas City rest their guys. They already had it. The Bills don't play their guys because it's not in play. They hadn't clinched
right.
it.
And the NFC went down to the final game of the season. In a very odd formula because of the division.
Right.
So it almost.
Right. They played each other.
Yeah.
One-on-one.
In the last game of the season. The second to last game of the season, of course, is Bills-Eagles. And
yeah.
When the schedule came out and we looked at that, I thought, man, I hope that's an odd spot for it. It's such a potential marquee game.
Yeah.
And we might already be talking about, well, how does this fit into what we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks? Like if the Bills are out of the one seed race, they could be locked into a two spot. Or locked into a one spot. So could Philadelphia. So
yeah, that's right.
It's an odd spot for that game, but anyway.
What's more likely, though? The fact the Bills will have it wrapped up or in Week 18 or that they will be out of play for it? That they would have it wrapped up, right?
I guess so.
Like, if they're not playing guys, wouldn't you think it's more they've clinched the one seed?
And somebody else did.
More than someone else has it clinched and
right.
they're too far back?
There's a reason they're the favorite for it. It's because of the division, right? Like, the division is some...
And the schedule.
The schedule, the division, but mainly the division.
Yeah.
They are the most likely to have their division wrapped up. They're the most likely to, I don't know, their schedule, their opponents. We'll see. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to go that far ahead. We don't know what kind of injury luck or bad luck they'll have. We just want them to get out of training camp healthy.
Yeah.
You know, today we find out and see if Joey Bosa gets reps. And that's a guy that we expect to be battling injuries. Never mind if, you know, knock on wood, somebody that I won't even mention because I won't speak it into the universe.
Yeah.
You know, a couple guys would be really big losses in training camp. I'm trying to think of the biggest loss the Bills ever had in training camp. Maybe we shouldn't even do that. I don't want to.
I mean,
Reggie Ragland.
He hadn't played a down though.
Right, and he never. And he never did.
He never played for the Bills.
He never did.
They traded him to Kansas City.
Yeah. So
back when Chiefs traded.
Other than that, like, what's the biggest camp injury? I don't know. There have been some. Where guys get dinged and miss some time.
Like last year, Curtis Samuel gets hurt, and that kind of affects him the whole year.
Sure.
Doesn't it?
We mentioned Losman, but he was not set to start.
No.
Was he?
No, Bledsoe's still on the team.
Right.
Right?
Kevin Cobb.
Am I right on that? Bledsoe's still on the team?
Yeah.
Or is that Holcomb?
No, it's Bledsoe for a year, I believe.
Kevin Cobb.
Maybe not. I'm just...
Kevin Cobb slipping on the mat, right?
Kevin Cobb is a big one.
That's a big one. Yeah, but what about like in Poyer, remember, got hurt a couple of years ago, but he only missed. Miss any game action.
Let me
right?
tell you, Poyer.
His elbow. He was screaming.
Yes, I remember that because he was in such, clearly in such pain.
Yeah.
And then it turned out to be okay.
Right.
Like, whatever happened, it looked horrible.
He played with that. He had a big brace on his elbow that whole season.
Yeah.
So, same thing. Like, you could pick up an injury that affects you throughout camp, but thinking of, like, a guy that got hurt and, like, that was, like, a major injury, missed time, nothing's coming to the top of my mind. I'll ask Sal this at 7. I think it's probably a good sign that all the injury news we had yesterday about this guy's going on this list and this guy's going on that list. Joey Bosa's not on a list right now, right?
No.
He's not on the PUP list. He's not on the non-football injury list. He's not on – I don't think he's on anything.
Yeah,
unless I'm wrong about that.
Not as of yesterday. I'm still going to be
– I think that's good news.
On Bosa, I'm going to live here the whole year. 8 sacks is a great year for him and healthy for the – 8 sacks and healthy for the playoffs is a great year. I don't know that I should expect him to play all 17. I'm not sure I want him to. I want to go with load management and, you know, this team, the way that they play, like, can they get up and rest guys and get younger guys in? I mean, it's whatever. It's people might say we're, like, looking ahead so much, but expectations should be very high. Get out of here healthy. Make sure there's no significant injuries, which is, you do the best you can, and, you know, take your chances. Bosa, I'm eager to see him, see what that turns into. You know what else is going to be interesting is Michael Hoyt. Like, Michael Hoyt's their first move in free agency.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was universally, ooh, I like that idea. He's a malleable piece, whatever, within formations defensively, chess piece. And with that, we're going to get a look at him for the next 6 weeks, right? Camp, preseason. We'll hear about it from Sal, like what kind of skill set maybe he brings. And out here at training camp, his size and what he does. And then he's got to go away for 6 weeks. So maybe we get a nice teaser of what Hoyt can be. And then we have to say goodbye until week 7. So he's one that's been interesting to me since the moment they signed him. I thought it just immediately stuck out as, all right, that sounds like a good idea. If you're a defensive coordinator that's looking to get more exotic, more aggressive, a guy that can do that kind of stuff. You know, he's not exactly like the highest profile guy, but whatever. The scouting report on him seemed to be like, all right, I like the idea.
There's the clip of him covering DK Metcalf as a slot corner that went viral after the Bills signed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good at everything. Maybe not amazing at any one thing. Does that sound right about Hoyt? But that can still be very useful when the offense doesn't know what his role is on a given play. I mentioned that Metcalf clip. He could line up at slot corner and he's covering the tight end and maybe holding his own, or he's coming off the edge on a blitz. Or on the next play he's playing defensive tackle because it's third and long and now he's an interior pass rusher. So it's just that one though is just so deflating about him missing 6 games. Because you don't have any sense of what that will look like until middle of the year. Is there somebody else in the defense they feel like they can use in that role? They've got some big games early, like Baltimore away.
Well, I mean, it's big.
It's big. I mean, talking about the one seed and the importance of that, like that Baltimore game is so early, but, you know, that's a tiebreaker. That's a tiebreaker against the other team that's favored with you to win the AFC. And it happens right out of the gates, and that's at least it's only one guy you won't have. So hopefully they stay healthy otherwise.
803-0550 to join us. We're also going to debut a segment we might do, like, maybe every day, Fantasy Find and Fantasy Fade. Because
other camps open.
We are in the tracking stats at camp phase.
Yes, we are.
Which receiver led this team in targets on day one of camp?
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk about whether or not we've got a Fantasy Find or a fantasy fade. I've got a quick one to run by you tomorrow for next segment. So we'll do that, and it's a nice little way to check in around the league. Sal joins us top of the hour. We're live from St. John Fisher. Give us a ring, 803-0550. We can take your calls. If you want to throw something our way, you're more than welcome to join us. If not, hang out, and we'll keep you covered here. From Fisher, first practice on the way today. We've got to start getting our bets in on first Bill on the field.
Oh, yeah.
That's always big?
No,
big tradition?
The practice field, not the auxiliary field.
No, practice field. Okay. Who's the first one through the tunnel? Who was it last year?
It was...
Was it a receiver?
It was a depth guy. Was it Shavers?
Has to be.
Might have been Shavers.
It is Tyrell Shavers' season. Let's go.
He does dominate.
Training camp.
Training camp.
Yep. He looked good last year. Last year, I thought, was the year. And
last year, he earned first-team reps.
And then he averaged 69 yards per catch. I'm saying, give him a chance.
Uh-huh.
The efficiency's off the charts. The team loves its efficiency. Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher here on WGR.